720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us tonight. 312-981-7200 is the number. You can also text us at that number. Thank you for all your very thoughtful comments so far. We like the thoughtful and conversation-sparking ones. Those are my favorite. But you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook if you're feeling shy. Don't feel like calling or texting. You can find me there. We can have the conversation any old time. Well, my friends, we've been talking about things that are weighing on our hearts and minds in light of recent headlines. And I think certainly in this time, anytime there's a big tragic event, we think about what we could be doing better and how we can be better and be more and do more. I think we can all agree that we do that on some level when we have big moments in life, even if they don't affect us personally, even if they just affect people a world away. And so we have a very special guest in the studio. Please welcome Siah Hillman to the show. She has a wonderful story and a movement that she has sparked called the Life of Yes. And I wanted her to come share that with us because I think it's always an important message. But I think especially right now when a lot of people are saying why and asking big, tough questions, it's important to think about throwing caution to the wind a bit and really taking it to heart when we say, hey, you only live once and you really got to do it and you got to live. And you've really lived that in ways that not many people have.
I have. And I pinch myself every single day that I am living this life of yes, because I always tell people business plan, you know, I got fired 11 years ago and I never, I didn't want to take the time to sit down and think about my 5-year, 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to jump in. I wanted to, but I also had to just jump in. You know, yeah. I need to pay rent. I need to pay my bills. So
11 years ago, you lost your job. And you have talked about this in a TED Talk. You have talked about this in a lot of places. You formed your company, Mac and Cheese Productions, by making this wish list of things you wanted out of life. And they included a lot of things that I think people wouldn't necessarily put in a business plan, like wearing flip-flops.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a very type A, big list maker. So whenever I am confronted with a problem or a challenge, usually that is my go-to. And when I got fired, I sat down on my couch and made a list of about 25 things that I wished I could get paid to do, no matter mm-hmm. how ridiculous they sounded. And like you said, wearing flip-flops was one of them, sitting on my couch, meeting strangers, playing board games, and continuing to harvest my love of scrapbooking and working with inner city kids. And, you know, usually I think when people start making lists like that, they let all the thoughts of this is never going to work. I mm-hmm. can never get paid to do.
They start self-censoring and saying, okay, I got to be serious and think about spreadsheets.
Absolutely. And all those things. And what happened for me was I had those voices in my head and I told them to be quiet and I continued making my list. And then I looked at the list and all of these aha moments started going off. I was like, actually, this thing actually goes with this thing, and I could. What if I meshed this, you know, number 5 with number 7, and 11 years later, everything on that list is now what I do for a living.
That's excellent. And so, talk us through those things, because there are a lot of them, but one in particular that I think is so interesting is the idea of this fear experiment, where you challenge yourself to do something you think you probably cannot do.
Yeah, so fear is something that we all deal with, obviously, in many different ways. And it is something that can make you feel so alone and isolated, and that you are the only person who is dealing with whatever the fear is. And from my personal experience growing up, I had, I know, quote unquote, abnormal childhood, and that I felt like I didn't fit in at all for many, many ways, and that I was also always fearful of being abnormal. And when I was growing up, I used to kind of be in the corner, not talking to anybody, and to shrink from attention, and I didn't have any confidence. And then I got to college, and college made me really realize that if you embrace the things that make you fearful, that you can really benefit, and you can not only benefit yourself, but benefit others around you. So I started really incorporating this embracing of fear into my life, social life, romantic life, professional life. And it really started with me going by myself to a lot of different things. You know, that is, I think, well, a lot of people's biggest fear is like, go to a networking event or
and I'll be in the corner.
Exactly.
No one will talk to me.
And you totally revert back to that like sixth grade cafeteria. Who am I going to sit with? Someone just look up and smile at me. And as I started going to things solo and embracing that fear, all these amazing things started happening. All these doors started opening. I started meeting all these new people. So what you just alluded to, fear experiment, basically started with me not having any dancing, singing, acting skills at all, but thinking it'd be really unfair if I leave this world without being able to be a Broadway star for one night and receive a standing ovation, even though I am not skilled in any of those areas. But, you know, if I'm out there challenging
That doesn't
myself,
stop lots of people.
Right, exactly.
There's
exactly,
plenty of people that
exactly.
can't sing or dance or whatever
Absolutely.
And make a living at it.
Absolutely. So, but I did think, I was like, no one's going to pay to see me dance badly by myself. And I have one of my superpowers, which I label things that come easily to you. One of my superpowers is connecting people. And I was like, well, people probably won't pay to see me dance badly, but what if I invite a group of my friends who don't know each other as a way to help them make friends? And the criteria to participate in this crazy, wacky idea I had 5 years ago was you had to be scared to do this, because I think when you scare yourself, you usually benefit in many different positive ways. You had to sign up by yourself, and you had to be quote unquote bad at dancing. And then I would hire a choreographer. I'd rent out a dance studio. We would attempt to sell tickets, you know, maybe sell 15, 20, 50 tickets after a couple of months of rehearsals. And 5 years ago, I was like, oh, this will be a one-time thing. We ended up selling 350 tickets. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And the other participants also had an amazing time. And people kept saying, when's dance experiment number two coming up? So I added another dance experiment, and then I added more art forms. So now it has become this thing called Fear Experiment. We actually had to move to the Park West because we usually sell out at 700 tickets. And it all came from embracing my suckage and embracing my fear.
I love that. That's a line you use a lot, embrace the suckage. And I think we hear that, you know, like embrace your flaws, embrace, you know, the things you're not good at, those things. But I think sometimes people don't necessarily know how to do that. I mean, I often tweet when I am on an aircraft that I'm a nervous passenger in the air because I have no control over my fate at that moment. And somebody tweeted back to me, you know, I had the Wi-Fi going, and someone said, you have to embrace it. And I couldn't, and I thought about that and it distracted me for the rest of the flight. But honestly, I couldn't imagine what that meant. What could that possibly mean to embrace why I believe I'm going to fall out of the air
to
my death.
Yeah, that's really interesting. My wheels are spinning in my head. You know, the first thing that jumped to my mind for your situation was, you know, you have this very public forum and you're very articulate and intelligent. And one of my life of yes steps is encouraging people to have a voice and to share your voice. And if you share that you, you know, you have this fear and that how many other people in the room are, you know, are going to raise their hands and be like, me too. I'm so glad that you said that. And that's how a tribe in a community begins.
That's true. That's
a
good point. Well, I terrified a poor woman just this week because we had a very big air pocket, like things flew off of tray tables kind of air pocket. And of course, I shrieked and grabbed this total stranger and she was not having any part of that. She was like, if you could just let go of me, that'd be great. And I was like, we have to help each other out. Anyway, so I love all the work that you're doing. And so we have to take a real quick break. But where can people, because you have a fear experiment show coming up, so we got to get people to go to that.
Absolutely. And this Saturday, the 21st, at the Park West at 8 o'clock. And it's $25. And there's two fear experiments per year. This one currently is a cappella, stepping, and storytelling. So a group of adults who signed up solo, been rehearsing since September, and will be performing one of those art forms on Saturday.
So all three of those groups are going?
Correct.
That's very cool. And where should people go to find tickets?
The website is macandcheeseproductions.com.
Awesome. All right. We're going to take a real quick break. We're talking to Saya Hillman. She is the woman who 11 years ago made a really awesome list and then made it all come true. So we're talking about that because we need a big old shot of positivity today. So we'll be right back in just a bit. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. We got to let that one play for a minute. I love that song. We work it in every show somewhere. It's so pretty. Ah, there we go. All right, my friends, welcome back to the show. We are chatting with Saya Hillman. She is the lady behind Mac and Cheese Productions, who is pushing a very fascinating movement upon us all. And we are glad. She, if you go to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any place and look up hashtag life of yes, you will see the positivity that she is spreading around the world and challenging us all to be so much better than we are. And we love her for that. So we welcome her to the show tonight. So we were talking about how your company formed and how you, it was kind of out of necessity. It was kind of, you were sort of pushed out of the nest somewhat. And you made a lot of things happen. And now it has all these great aspects. And we were talking about the fear experiment, where people challenge themselves to dance or sing or do things in front of strangers. But I also would like to talk about this adult summer camp that you do, because I think that is so interesting. Particularly the part that sounds terrifying to me, we were talking about fear, is how you confiscate everyone's technology on the way in. And just kind of make people, what a novel concept, make people just sit around and talk to each other.
Absolutely. It's when I describe it to people, especially strangers who have never been in the Life of Yes world, they kind of look at me like, what? Because my description is you get in an unmarked white van with a group of people who you've never met before.
Okay, not with you so far.
Right? And you have to turn in your phones. You'll get it back 48 hours later. And you have no idea where you're going. And you...
Seems legit.
For the most part, have no idea what you're going to be doing. It's called a Life of Yes sleepaway camp. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, on the website, there is a general description of what a life of yes is. But people always ask for, like, what's the agenda and the schedule? We have a lot of type A people, you know, mm-hmm. like me, who you feel much more comfortable when you know, what are all the specific activities we're going to be doing? And we purposely made that decision in this, you know, Google age where you can Google anything and just find out so much about stuff. And I think where a lot of people come in with preconceived notions, and you know, our reason for keeping the location secret is we don't want people getting on the website and looking and like, oh, what's the best room? I want to make sure I get the best room when I get there. Or, you know, just we're so quick to judge mm-hmm. other people. And that's another reason we don't share who you're going to be with. You don't know if you're going to be the lone Democrat, the lone 50-year-old, the lone whatever. You know, we have mm-hmm. people come from all over the country, which has been amazing. I remember the first time a camper came from out of state. She just came from Milwaukee, but I like fell off my chair. I was like, oh, my God. And now we've had people from Seattle, New York, LA. But I think that the main reason people come is finding a tribe. And this is the same thing for fear experiment, is that as adults, it can be really hard to make friends. And that's not a topic that we talk about a lot. And, you know, and who wants to admit, I don't have friends, or I want more friends, you know?
And when you find a person that you click with, I think if it's a romantic thing, I think people will talk about that. They'll say, hey, we should go out more. Let's do this again. But I think if it's just a friendship thing, people are so funny about talking about that. That's exactly right. We do not talk about friendships.
At all. There was a New York Times article that came out probably about 4 years ago now, and it was called Why Is It So Hard to Make Friends Over 30? And that article, I reference it all the time. It just really spoke to me, and from the 600 comments, that really spoke to a lot of other people. And as I was reading it, I was highlighting, and I was like, and I was highlighting every single sentence in there. I was like, okay, this is something I need to look at more. And one of the main points that really stuck out to me is they quoted sociologists as saying that there are three criteria for creating authentic relationships, which is proximity, repeated unplanned interactions, and then a setting that encourages people to let their guard down and to confide in each other. And when I read those three points, I was like, wow, that's summer camp. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I had when I was in summer camp. And that's what I had when I went to Boston College, which has, we had retreats for everything. And in the retreat setting, that's exactly what those things, you know, that's what the environment was. And as an adult, I couldn't find anything like that. And I got sick of hearing myself complain, oh, you know, or be nostalgic for the past, mm-hmm. for camp or for college. And it was the cyclical, I look for something, I couldn't find anything. Oh, I wish I had this. And I was like, stop complaining, just do something about it, right? I love Tina Fey's quote about just say yes and figure it out later. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Life of Yes sleepaway camps happen, is I rented I rented cabins. I rented a 15-passenger van. I was not in any position to financially to be doing this.
It's in the general Chicagoland region.
Cool. So we've gone to Michigan, Wisconsin, okay, and Illinois thus far.
Okay.
I would love to go outside. I would love, you know, life of sleepaway camp Maui would be amazing.
I'm in. Sign me up for that one.
So I rented these cabins and I rented this van and I spread the word that I was having a life of yes camp and I had no idea what that meant, but as Tina Fey says, just say mm-hmm. yes, figure it out later. And I crossed my fingers that people would apply and that I wouldn't be out lots of money that mm-hmm. I didn't have. And it turns out that I didn't have to be worried. That was about 2.5 years ago. They got written up in the Sunday New York Times. And we just had our 9th camp a couple weeks ago, and they're going gangbusters. And we've had, like I said, people come from all over the country, and for all these different reasons. I think our youngest camper was 23, our oldest camper was 60 something. Single, divorced, gay, straight. All over the place. And that's actually one of my favorite things about all the mac and cheese offerings is you are going to meet people who you probably normally would never cross paths with. And if you saw, their demographics or their opinions or their stances on paper, you would be like, I would never get along with mm-hmm. that person. But then you put them in a setting like Fear Experiment or Sleepaway Camp, and to see two people, act like they've been best friends. And, actually, we had this past camp, one of the dining hall women overheard us in the dining hall at our first meal, and the way that everybody was interacting with one another, she thought, she didn't know about what the background of the camp, and that you had to come solo and you didn't know anybody and where you were going. And she thought that we were getting together for like a college reunion, that
wow.
we had been friends for years and years and years.
Isn't
and when
that
I heard that, like, I started tearing up.
Right.
Like, no,
it
actually
works.
These people just met.
You know what, when you were describing, demographics and so many different kinds of people, it called to mind, there's a video on YouTube from Soul Pancake, which does really fun and just very uplifting, we are all human beings, we're all in this together and let's recognize that kind of videos. But there's one where they put the ball pit that's in, at kids' parties, right? The big ball pit thing.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. They put one of those in the middle of a street and would pick two different people to get into it and sit there. And all the balls had questions on them. And people had to ask each other questions until they found common ground. And they had video running the whole time. And it was so beautiful. I dare you all, go Google this. It's Soul Pancake. Look for the ball pit video. Get through it without crying. And then call me and tell me you have no soul. Because I'm telling you, it is so sweet and so touching. And it just reminds us that we're all human beings and we're all in this mess together and we have to help each other out and find common ground. We are talking with Saya Hillman about all of these very, very wonderful positive things that she does. I've seen a couple of tweets. Again, go to Mac and Cheese Productions if you would like to go to the Fear Experiment event coming up on the 21st at the Park West. Tickets are $25. There is acapella singing. There is
Stepping.
And storytelling. Lots to do. I'll get you to news in just a bit. We'll take a quick break and be right back. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us tonight. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can call or text me on that line, or you can find us on social media, Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Well, we've been talking about a whole lot of stuff tonight, but we have a very special guest in the studio with us right now. We're joined by Saya Hillman, who is the creator of a very wonderful company called Mac and Cheese Productions, which is just such a fun name, because who doesn't love that? And she does all these wonderful things that really amount to making us better, making us not be jerks, and making us connect with each other in a very human way. And so we've been talking about some of those, including the Fear Experiment, where you challenge yourself to do something you think you cannot do, and Adult Summer Camp. Is that the right name for it? Do
sure.
you have a better name?
Sure. That's right.
Adult Summer Camp, where she confiscates her cell phone, picks you up in a white van that's unmarked. That seems totally legitimate. And then takes you to a camp and you have to just talk to other human beings. I may have to sign up for that one. That sounds pretty fun.
I would love to have you at camp, Amy.
That would be so fun. And then once you're at camp, it seems like there's a lot of activities. Are they centered around a particular theme? Are they about bonding with your fellow campers? Are they about self-care or realizing your voice? Or what do they center around?
Yes, yes, and yes. You know, obviously each camp is very different because all the participants are so different, which is one of the things we love. But there's absolutely, you know, the common threads, and you just hit upon all of them. Basically, you know, getting back to this, finding a community, finding a tribe. People want to get away from bills and significant others and kids and routine and work and all that. It's funny, when someone asks me what I do for a living, I love answering that question. But
I was about to ask you that because you do so much stuff.
I do. I still do not have a good elevator pitch, but I love talking about what I do. But I've noticed over these 11 years of, you know, working with these Cheez-Its, the mm-hmm. Cheez-Its are people that I call, affectionately call people who do my things, that so many Cheez-Its absolutely hate that question, what do you do? And I get a lot of, you know, that's not who defines me, and that's mm-hmm. not, and most of it is stemming from people being unhappy professionally. And so we do a lot of work on the camps about, you know, if you are unhappy professionally, how can you realize your superpowers, realize the things that you're good at, and also realize a way that you can actually make money doing those things that mm-hmm. you're good at? Because a lot of times people see, you know, their interests and their hobbies as not being money makers. And my Life of Yes way of thinking is, hold on there, you know, mm-hmm. let's sit down, let's
find
make a list, we'll find a way.
I hear people say that a lot. Oh, if only I could make a living doing blank.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you can.
Absolutely. And to me, you know, so we talk a lot about quality of life. Mm-hmm. That to me is so important. And I know when I first started Mac and Cheese, you know, you want to be able to pay the bills, and I was 26 or something at the time, and that's when, you know, I was still very in this day and age, I think it's so easy to compare yourself to everybody else, especially mm-hmm. with social media and, you know, seeing everybody's posts about, you know, their Hawaii vacations and their boyfriends and their size 2 waists and their promotion that they just got. And I constantly have to remind myself and remind Cheez-Its that we are seeing people's highlight reels. We are not seeing people's mm-hmm. crap reels. You know, no one shares, I gained 10 pounds, I got fired today, I have stretch marks, whatever it is. Nobody shares that stuff. And I really encourage people at camp to have that voice. And as I was talking about earlier, you know, to when you the power of having a voice, when you say, I'm scared to do this, or, you know, this is something that I'm struggling with in my life, there is something that is so cathartic and freeing when you do that. And so many other people in the room are going to say, me too. And that is the foundation, I think, of a Life of Yes, is finding those people who say, me too. I want to help you. I don't know you that well, but I appreciate you being vulnerable with me. And let's just jump all in and, you know, figure this out together. And, you know, going back to how you open the segment with, you know, just being human, you know, we're all humans mm-hmm. and we all have, you know, this want to, this desire to be a part of something and to feel needed. And I think it's so easy for us to beat ourselves up. And that's another thing that I've noticed over the years, is it really saddens me with both camp and Fear Experiment that on the application, I have two questions that one that asks, what are you good at, or what are you proud of? And another question that asks, you know, if you could fix something or change something in your life or something about you, what would you change? And I will get, you know, three paragraph thing about, you know, I don't like this about me. I don't like this. I am sad about this. And I feel inadequate in this way. And then I cannot tell you how many people say, I don't know how to answer the question, what am I good at, or what am I proud of? And, you know, these are people who are so accomplished and are so interesting and have so many amazing things about themselves, and they can't answer what I think is a really simple question. And this mm-hmm. is the same thing about, you know, going back to, you know, what do you do for a living? That's, to me, that is such a beautiful question. Oh my God, let's sit down and talk for an hour about that. And I can't tell you how many strangers have actually started crying on me when I asked what I thought was a very innocent, fun question. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that is not for, that's not for everybody.
I have thought about that question a lot, because I've come to realize that some of my favorite people in this world struggle with answering that. And not because they don't know what it is they do or they're not proud of it, but because they do a lot and they're so excited, and it's not a sentence. It's a paragraph. It's a pull up a chair and let's talk. And I think, and it occurred to me how much pressure we put on ourselves to be able to, I think every business book, right, tells you, you need an elevator pitch and you need to sum up your life in a sentence. What if we didn't? What if we didn't have to? What if we didn't feel like we had to? And that's something I've thought about as someone with about 9 jobs, that's something I think about a lot, right? Because I can't really do that in one sentence. So I feel like I've kind of joined this club of people that I can't be summed up in a sentence anymore.
Absolutely. And I think
fun.
That you, I used to, sometimes I would find myself in situations where I wish I was a teacher or a receptionist or a doctor. And I just say that and you know exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. And I don't get these kind of looks of confusion. But what I've noticed over the years as someone who cannot concisely tell people what I do, and you know, all the MBAs are like, no, you have to have an elevator pitch. That's the first thing you need to be able to do is share that information about your business. But I've realized that that's absolutely one of the best things about what I do is I have my hands like you in so many different pots. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I think I've learned to turn that to my advantage, where I will give a sentence or two about kind of the general life of yes stuff. And mm-hmm. then if I'm at a party or a networking event, 20 minutes later, I'm still talking about myself, but because other people are asking me questions and mm-hmm. they're driving the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that to me, I mean, that's, I don't pay for any marketing or advertising. And in my 11 years, I haven't done anything like that. And it's because it's all been word of mouth and referrals and situations like that. And that's my sales and marketing, is forcing myself to go to a party that, I would rather stay at home in my yoga pants and eat Ben and Jerry's straight from the pint. But I'm going to go to this thing tonight by myself because I need to meet more Cheez-Its and bring them into my world. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a way to sell your business without being that used car salesman type or the,
sure.
The person.
I think that's something a lot of people struggle with.
Yes.
They don't want to feel, I think a lot of people say, I don't want to feel like I'm bragging. I don't want to feel like I'm pushing my agenda on them. I don't want to, I don't want to talk about me. I hear that from a lot of people. And I think that's something we all need to be able to do comfortably and to be able to say, because sometimes it's really just a fact. It's not bragging. You worked your butt off to accomplish something. Own it. Right? Claim
Absolutely.
It. Make it yours.
Absolutely.
Indeed. We're talking with Saya Hillman. She is the lady behind Mac and Cheese Productions that is bringing the Life of Yes agenda to us all. And we've been talking about that. And we need to take a little break. When we come back, we will be talking a little bit more about that because I still have so many questions for her. So we'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN. WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us this fine evening. I see Roger Badish up there dancing away. You got the right song, Shane. Look at him. Badish.
With your mother.
Ah, you're the best, Badish.
I love the bumps.
Yes.
I love them.
Shane plays good music. What can I say?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He knows what makes me move.
He didn't play for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Turn off your mic. Stay in your corner. My friends, we have been talking with Saya Hillman. She is the lady behind Mac and Cheese Productions that puts on fabulous events that challenge us to be better versions of ourselves and challenge us to be more human and connect with other human beings. And so I'm curious, Saya, as people go through adult summer camp where you confiscate their technology and make them talk to other human beings, and as people go through the fear experiment where they learn to do a skill like singing or dancing or storytelling, something they thought they could never do or something they thought they were terrible at, what happens after that? Is that so transformational to people?
It absolutely is. And that's been one of my favorite things that's happened, a surprise for me that's happened over these 11 years. From a girl who did fear experiment and lived in Chicago for her whole life. And after fear experiment was over, she took a job in Amsterdam and she decided to go move that. And she told me that doing fear experiment gave her the confidence to quit her great job here in Chicago and to apply to this job in Amsterdam. And actually, she didn't know anybody there. And she's been there for a couple of years now and very happy. I have another girl who did fear experiment and was a self-proclaimed, I think, shy girl. And then after Fear Experiment was over, she signed up to do stand-up comedy, which just blows
not
my mind.
Not a shy person.
No, not at all. And she was really, she's really good at it. So she did that. And she actually also moved from Chicago recently. And now she's living in Vermont at this great new job. So it's actually, I feel like I'm shooting myself in the foot. I'm giving people all this confidence to take
to
all these
away.
Leads. And now they're leaving. Yeah, everybody's leaving me. But yeah. No, I love seeing that. And then, I mean, love relationships that have come from my different events. There was actually just a marriage a couple of weeks ago of two ladies who met at one of my events, and they both went through fear experiment and Another couple that met through Mac and Cheese just had their first baby a couple days ago. So it's just amazing to see the aftermath both. There's tons of professional, wonderful things happening with, you know, people hiring each other. Mm-hmm. And people having the confidence to finally take that leap and leave a job or start their own business, apply for something that, you know, on paper, I would normally never qualify for this. But you know what? I'm going to try. I just did improv in front of 700 people and I rocked it. So I'm feeling really good about myself. So I'm going to try. So I have so many stories like that. And it's just been so heartwarming. And, you know, those days that I'm like, why am I doing this? I wish I had a regular paycheck. I wish I had holiday bonuses. Mm-hmm. And then I hear stories like that and sure. I get thank you notes. I'm like, this is why I do that.
And there's no amount of money in the world that can make up for that.
Absolutely not. I always tell there is no amount of money that someone could offer me to have me going back to working for someone else or leaving the mac and cheese world. I just it goes back to quality of life, which to me is 10 a.m. Tuesday yoga, being able to go to the grocery store and the post office during the day when everybody else is at work. Like that to me is worth $50,000 less a year, absolutely, or whatever the number is.
There was something you said in your TED talk that I thought was so perfect, and it was something like, I traded worrying about work-life balance for living. And that was so perfect because I think even worrying about work-life balance becomes another stressor for people. Even that. I think it's a pressure that we're under to do all of these things so perfectly. And I really admire that you're going, no, I reject all that, actually. I'm going to do a whole different thing. And I think I think a lot of people are thinking about that. I think a lot of people are realizing, hey, I'm stressed out and I'm not making friends and I'm not having the quality of relationships that I want, or this job isn't what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be more. And I think, as I said, when we first started this conversation an hour ago, I think it unfortunately sometimes takes really tough moments in our world for us to go, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to do something differently. And sometimes we say that, but then a week later we go back to our old ways. And so I really love when we do see very positive things come out of hard things, not necessarily bad things, but hard things, questions we have to wrestle with. I think that's so powerful when people say, you know what, this thing happened and I had to make a change and I had to do something about it. I mean, that's really how your company started, right? You lost your job and said, here's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. And I think too that, when you living a life of yes definitely is all about, you know, being positive and rah, rah, rah. But I do want to underline that living a life of yes does not mean you're not going to have hurdles and you're not going to have challenges. That's not realistic. But what I think it means when it comes to those situations is that how do you deal with the hurdles and the challenges and the sadness and sickness and losing loved ones and all those things that we all go through? Do you let it completely derail you? And are you unable to let go? And are you unable to move forward? Or do you deal with it, however you deal with it and however long it takes you, you know, days, weeks, years. But eventually you're able to, it is a cliche, but I think everything is a learning experience and a growing opportunity. And, I think that going back to having that community and that tribe, that's one of the times it's so important to have that when you are going through something that's really hard and tough. And if you have that support network and to not feel bad about asking for help or shedding tears. I think a lot of us just as adults, we feel shame in that. And sure. I think there is strength and power in saying, I need help. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people see it that way. And that's something that, you know, I didn't used to.
I think a lot of people say, I don't want to look weak, or I don't want to be a drama queen. I don't want to, it's not for here. I don't want to talk about it. You know, I think a lot of people do that. And there is a time and place for that. You know, you don't want to just pull that out in a boardroom or something. But I find it endearing when people are more human.
Absolutely.
When they, I mean, we see this in, you know, every year, this time of year, there's usually a big story or a big photo gallery that starts circulating around the internets about here were the most moving photos of the year. And I love those so much because they're usually a person and an animal connecting very deeply. Usually one is helping the other. It's not always the person helping the animal. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's animals. Sometimes it's human beings of two totally different walks of life having a moment. Sometimes when they don't even necessarily share a language. And I just think those are so great. And I love that you have a whole company built around that.
And I think that's why the Real Humans of New York, am I saying that right? I think that's the I think that's why those are so powerful and so popular. They say because those are real people who are sharing real issues that we all deal with, and you know, it resonates with, you know, it's more impactful for me to see, you know, people who have to deal with, you know, not getting along with your mom and infertility and debt and, you know, all that stuff that we all have to grapple with. And again, to have that voice and share it and that courage to share that you're struggling. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Such amazingness.
That's huge. That's very huge. Well, I love everything that you're doing. I look forward to hearing more about it, and I might have to sign up for adult summer camp and wean myself off of my phone for 2 days. That sounds terrifying, and my rule is if it sounds terrifying, you should try it.
Amen.
Not going to happen.
What, me?
You're not going to wean yourself off of your phone for a few days.
I do it 24 hours every single week. I could do it for 48.
Fine.
He's like, no. He has no faith in me.
Gauntlet thrown. There's your challenge, Amy.
I know. Dare me. Watch me do it. All right, he's dared me. Now it's on. Okay, well, I'm gonna do an adult summer camp,
and I
will see you there. But I have to wait till the summer, so, because that's a thing. All right, well, Saya Hillman, thank you so much for being with us. You guys go to macandcheeseproductions.com. You can read all about her story. You can read all about the cool projects. You can go to some of the cool projects. There's even a couple we didn't even get to because there's so many. So go check it out. Go do that. Go support and connect with her on social media and all those fun things. Thanks. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.